Why are we still in Iraq?
Well, I'm not sure how exactly the, I believe we are leaving gradually right now.
Because we went there, made war, or continued a war that already had begun covertly, and now we feel we have a right to those natural resources.
Why did we ever go there?
I don't know. We've been in there a long time. Sometimes I forget that we are there. it's been, what, years, right?
We'll be in Iraq for the duration now. I mean, oil pipelines, a sphere of influence there. We're trying to set up a puppet government there. It's never going to happen successfully.
Why were we there in the first place?
Oil. Why did we go? You know, going on the theory that the U.S. is in there to finish off the stabilization of the new government in Iraq, there's still some work to be done in establishing stability. So as far as I would... No, that's right.
Why are we still in Iraq?
Good question, yeah.
Saddam Hussein was our partner. We say, well, he killed people in Kurds with poison bombs. But who gave him the poison bombs? We did. I wonder what? Wait a minute. We were arming him. He was our buddy. Yeah, we helped him out. And but he was just too big, too dangerous to our world view.
I'm sure for economic reasons.
You know, the saddest thing is you, once the war's over, 2 weeks later, you read of all the new contracts that are being offered, and, you know, we'll only know if this whole, like, Iraq thing it really was for good, actually, in time, and it could end up being actually for good, and I think we put a lot of bad pressure, but people are making a lot of money from what happened, and it's unfortunate, so... I think we're there for control and business ventures.
I think it's out of guilt.
To make Iraq safe for democracy. Why else?
To save face, Uncle Sam never learns.
I think the main reason why the government is in Iraq today is because they feel they have to finish something, although they shouldn't have been there in the first place. They have to finish something that somebody else started, so they have to come out of there with somewhat of their reputation intact and not seem as defeated.
I feel like we shouldn't be. I don't know why.
The United States is kind of analogous to what Britain was when their empire was founded, in that the United States' period of empire is pretty much drawing to an end. And that makes the United States one of the most dangerous countries in the world today.
Because of the same thing, political instability in the region.
I don't know why we're still there. Supposedly to help them establish their own government or something, but, you know, I think they know what they want, so we should have gone from there a long time ago.
Well, I mean, we were there before. A lot of people don't know that, but, you know, we never really left, so... We'll be there until, you know, we place somebody there that will hold down the oil for us. It's not really a question anymore. the reality.
There are U.S. troops in Iraq because we went in basically to pacify the country, to get rid of Saddam. And I think pretty much everybody agreed that if we just turned around and walked away, that the whole thing would fall into chaos and civil war, and it almost did. And now things are certainly not good politically, but they're more quiet. It's all the battle inside Iraq today, except for the Al-Qaeda people who are trying to blow things up and start more trouble. They'd like to start another civil war. Everything else is being done by the ballot box and by the by politics, and you know that's better. But actually, I was in Iraq last year, and I was there for 5 days, and I was in Baghdad, I was in Najaf, and driving in between the two. I never saw a single American soldier, not one. Well, there were American soldiers around, but they were not out patrolling. They were not manning the checkpoints that we went through. Our security guard was Iraqi military, and so forth. And so the Americans have pulled back, and I think that's a very healthy thing. I think that's what we said we were going to do. And there are a lot of Iraqis who say, don't leave, because we'll not be able to deal with our own problems. That may be true, but we're not going to be able to stay there forever. But I think on that, I give Obama a good deal of credit. I mean, he said, we're going to go. We're going to do it in an orderly fashion. We're going to do it with the agreement and cooperation of the Iraqis. And we're doing it. And that's good.
In a few minor respects, yes.
No.
Yeah, for the United States, it's been a success. But for, you know, the Iraqis, no. That doesn't matter to us. Not to us, to you know, the government.
It's not necessarily, I don't think it's a success, necessarily. We don't really know what the world would be like if Saddam was still there.
I don't know if you really can use the term success or failure when you're describing this, since
it's a war.
And since you're not fighting a definite enemy, you can't say, hey, we beat back Iraq, because that's not what we're trying to do. And you can't really say, hey, we've beaten back Al-Qaeda completely, since it's really impossible to gauge whether or not you have.
Judging by what I see in the newspapers, no. I don't know what we went there to accomplish in the first place. Iraqi freedom, I don't think they're more free now than they were before. So probably not, most likely not.
I wouldn't necessarily call it a success, but I wouldn't say it's an utter failure either. A success would be if the country was 100% stabilized and the people were educated and completely able to sustain themselves.
No, I don't think it was a success. We actually weakened our position amongst Muslims.
I think it's been a success for our enemies in that we've done every possible thing they could hope to alienate us, the rest of the world, from themselves and all of our allies. Very few people support the United States anymore.
It's not about, you know, it's more about how we went to the war, not about, it's probably good that Saddam is not there, but we can't just go into countries Let's go into countries where there's a humanitarian disasters and famines and people are starving instead.
The fact that we went in there without a very clear goal makes it hard to define a very clear success.
Gee, I don't know that the wars are success, simply. You know, it's blood.
I mean, I don't know if we're looking, at success as being, has a stable government been established? I really don't have the resources to answer because I read the news a lot less than I should. But I think, you know, I think elections are always a good sign. I think there always are signs of instability when progress happens, you know, bombings and that kind of thing. But I don't know if any country has been ever established without any messy work. And so as far as establishing a working democracy, I would say that I would like to think that it's on the way to success. Yes.
I don't know, it makes me question, you know, what is success, and of course the, you know, who receives those benefits.
I think the war was a terrible mistake, the Iraqi war. It made no sense at all. And I think that if you do a cost-benefit analysis in terms of where Iraq is today, I think Iraq is better today than it was with Saddam there. But was it worth losing 5,000 American troops, paying maybe several trillion dollars out of the American budget, and with perhaps 100,000 Iraqis killed in the process? You know, that's an enormously high price to pay. And I think the answer has to be that it just wasn't worth it. You know, that, yeah, there were some positive things that came out of it, but the price was way, way too high.
I would say so, yeah.
We don't know what the cost is, yeah.
No, not at all. I feel like if they would have put that much money into green energy, then we wouldn't need oil by now. But it's all about making money, it's capitalism.
No. No, not at all.
For them or for us? For the United States? No, of course not. I mean, the policies of the United States basically play into the hands of the people who dislike the United States. And considering our government and the past 30 years, we haven't been on the right side of any battles in this country, so.
I would say so.
I don't think it's been worth the cost, no. That would probably be my most definitive answer on any of the questions.
Have other people said yes?
Never.
Of course not.
I don't think so, although I don't really know enough to give a real informed answer, but from what I do know, I don't think so.
No. You go to the developing world and people suffer so bad, and all you want to do is give away every last penny that you have. And we could put our resources in trying to figure out a better solution for Eastern Congo. You know what's happening there? You know, there's rebels controlling the cobalt and diamond mines, and they kick everybody out of their homes. 3 out of 10 men are raped. 7 out of 10 women are raped. Fathers are forced to rape their daughters. Sons are forced to rape their mothers. Is that not what? We couldn't put some of the resources towards helping Congolese. Or what about helping the refugees that are in Uganda who are suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder because their father raped them? So there's many other things that we could put our resources to, and we need to, it's unfortunate to...
No. Definitely not. Emotionally and financially and militarily, another big waste.
I don't see a figure, so I'm sure it is, you know?
Not really, because I don't think that Iraq is... There's still a lot of human rights violations and issues there. I don't think it's still not a very democratic country. And ultimately, I think it was about oil and not what they say it was about.
Not by a long shot.
You have all forced people dying. Most U.S. citizens are familiar with the U.S. numbers because that's the only numbers we're given. But then you also have the numbers of the Afghani, Iraqi, and other coalition nations. And it's also not just people who were killed, the people who were injured. That's basically some of those injuries. Lifetime injury, so that's basically, for all intents and purposes, almost like being dead for a lot of people. So, it hasn't been worth it.
The war? I think we all know that.
When Bush went into Iraq, he issued a national security memorandum specifically saying that preemptive war was a major element of U.S. strategy in the region. And Obama has now issued a different national security document which doesn't mention preemptive war at all. And I think in reality, most people look at it and think that it was way overdone, that it wasn't justified, and that the cost was really very, very high. And in the end, our security is not a whole lot stronger than it was before we went in, and we're trillions of dollars further in debt, and it has done us great damage. And I think it has also damaged the view of the United States in the region. And a lot of countries really feel that we were not justified in doing this, and they all have different reasons for disagreeing with it, and some of them may even admire what we did, though it's hard to find anybody who will admit it. But even there, if they do admire it, it's because they would like us to come and help them the same way. In other words, if they're in trouble, they would like us to come in and get rid of their enemies for them and save them the trouble. That's a very expensive policy, and I think, in fact, that policy is not one that is going to be seen as a... I think it's going to be seen as a short-term, almost a period of strategic insanity on the part of the United States, that we after 9/11, we went berserk. In a sense, in terms of our international politics in the Middle East, and we're going to look at this period and say, what we're in now is a recovery period from that, and we're not going to go back to that again.
Some of them, some of the costs can never be paid back, especially in life. But I guess in the end, at a certain point, you have to be willing to ask, you know, moving forward, given that these things can't be changed, that the past can't be changed, Are we going to try to build something positive out of the mess and the wreckage that's here? And I'd like to think that ultimately that will end in something, in a good country.
Nobody.
I don't know who made all that money, where it went. I don't think many of us do really know where that money went to, but some people probably do.
The munitions makers, by far. I mean, they were very worried when the Cold War ended. I remember reading, you know, what are we going to do now? I mean, God, we got to have, So we invented a new enemy, you know, and the most logical person to pick on. And we got, what, 1/4 of the world against us now? Something like that.
Actually, nobody has benefited from it yet. Remains to be seen. I won't be alive to see it. But what happens when China and India really become the major economic driving factors in the United States, in the world? Nobody's benefited from this. Just people have been killed. You know, it was that way in Vietnam. And the only wars we've won are against superpowers like Panama and places like that.
Probably like the higher ups in the government, and you know, maybe some rich folks or something. Whoever's conspiring to keep it together are the ones who will probably benefit.
The Western countries, of course. It was never a threat to begin with, so you're not going to feel more or less safe from what happened, because it was never really a threat to begin with.
George Bush? His dad? Dick Cheney? Those guys?
I'm sure corporations don't know.
Companies like Halliburton and others that were connected to the Bush administration.
Halliburton.
There may be some individuals who feel that it's the situation, individuals in the country who, in Iraq or Afghanistan, would feel that it's better than it was. But then you have to balance that against those who feel that it isn't better in terms of what it costs and something like that. And the idea that that change has to come within a country rather than somebody coming and forcing change on.
Probably weapons manufacturers and the so-called military establishment want to have something to do to justify their existence.
I don't know.
Yeah, the rich people, you know, who started that war. And it's always poor people suffer and the rich people profit from it, and that's the world. It's class.
You do have a Shia government in Baghdad for the first time in, I don't know, several millennia, certainly several centuries, and that's a new thing. And this is something that really bothers Saudi Arabia and Jordan and the other countries who are accustomed to having the Sunnis basically run the Middle East as they think of it. And this is going to interfere with that. Plus, the government there, at least at the moment, is actually operating on the basis of real elections. And that's also something which the rest of the Middle East, for the most part, doesn't do. And I think if Iraq manages to maintain itself as a Shia government operating really with the consent of the Iraqi people and bringing in Sunnis as well and making them a serious part of the government, that this is going to, over the long term, have an impact on the politics. Iraq is really at the heart of the Arab world. Baghdad has always been a major capital of great significance. And to have Baghdad basically operating on the basis of a government ruling by consent of the people expressed in elections, and a government that is primarily Shia in orientation, is something entirely new. And it is going to have an impact on the region. And, you know, I don't think we can predict what that impact is going to be at this point. But it's that problem that makes, for instance, Saudi Arabia has been very much opposed to Maliki being the prime minister. They just don't like him at all. And although they don't say it in those terms, I suspect that the thing that they mostly don't like is that he's Shia. And that's, they worry about that.